This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Wellness DC, hosted by Dr. Richard Giannotto. Dr. Giannotto is the founder and medical director of the Giannotto Clinic in Tysons Corner, Virginia. The Giannotto Clinic specializes in microsurgical hair restoration, skin care, and renewal, and quality of life for wellness medicine. Now, here's Dr. Giannotto.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wellness DC. You're going to have to excuse me this morning because I have been sneezing up a storm up until this moment when everything has stopped. So I feel good now, but if I start sneezing, excuse me. Yeah, Andrew's crossing his fingers that everything goes well. Anyway, we've been talking about gastrointestinal reflux disease. We've touched on diabetes. We've touched on obesity. But today, we're going to start a discussion of something which I think is really an epidemic in the world, not just the United States. And it really does need to be tamed because the consequences are just so horrible. And I'm going to use a term, and I'm going to say cardiometabolic disease. So you see cardio for cardiology, metabolic for metabolism. And cardiometabolic disease encompasses cardiovascular disease and diabetes. And together, those two things, those two entities, can lead to horrible consequences from obesity, dyslipidemia, metabolic syndrome, stroke, and eventually death. And, you know, metabolic cardiology is a new and emerging field in medicine at this point, and rightly so. It's more of a functional medicine thing than it is a traditional medicine thing. But more and more cardiologists are embracing this notion of cardiac disease as a result of metabolic and inflammatory phenomena. So cardiac disease feeds diabetes. Diabetes feeds cardiac disease. And they're both driven by many, many triggers, which we'll go into. But the interesting thing is the triggers that drive cardiometabolic disease, every single one of them is under your control. Every single one of them, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I'm not going to get up on the soapbox and preach that you're not eating well or you're drinking too much or this or that. Listen to this because this can save your life. This can lower healthcare costs. This can make you feel a whole lot better. So in previous discussions on high blood pressure or hypertension, I had mentioned that cardiovascular disease, and in particular, atherosclerosis. Now, I use that term atherosclerosis to mean, most people think it means hardening of the arteries. Well, what it really means is that there's plaque buildup in the arteries, narrowing the lumen in the arteries so that blood flow is compromised. And the problem that this results in is what we call end organ damage. The artery that goes to a particular organ, say it's one of the coronary arteries going to the heart, and it's narrowed, and you don't get enough blood supply, the muscle becomes ischemic, or it starts to lose fibers, it starts to contract less, and sooner or later you have a heart attack. That's how heart attacks happen. And then doctors have to go in with a stent and unblock this artery, but sooner or later, if lifestyle changes are not encompassed, you'll get this again and again and again. And statin drugs like Lipitor and Crestor have emerged in order to decrease the incidence of this, to lower lipids so that this doesn't happen, because it's your LDL or bad cholesterol that causes, when it's oxidized in the body, causes deposition of plaque. So atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease really are the result of inflammatory processes in the body, and they lead to irregularities in the immune system, which then starts to destroy its own body. So let's go through this so you understand it. We know that hypertension and heart disease are caused by oxidative stress or free radicals in the body, and we've mentioned those before. We know that they are caused by low-grade inflammation in the body. We know that this results in damage to the lining of the blood vessels called endothelial dysfunction. And this, in turn, results in what we call autoimmune problems, meaning that structures are altered to the extent that our vigilant police force of cells don't recognize them and start to destroy them. And when this happens, you get heart disease, you can get a heart attack, you can get a stroke, you can even die. We're just beginning to recognize cardiac disease as a problem with inflammation and immune dysfunction. This is the latest. We're talking research 2012 to the present. I would venture to guess that half the cardiologists out there are unaware of these phenomena that I'm talking about right now. This is new, and it has been proven over and over again, but the results have been ignored. So, cardiovascular disease is also intimately connected to obesity, accumulation of fat around the middle, diabetes, and all of these create insulin resistance, which, if unchecked, worsens diabetes and worsens heart disease. So you can see how all of these things are totally, totally interconnected. And the one common thing they have is lifestyle choices. So diet, as we have said more over and over and over again, exercise, stress relief, toxic burden, all of these things enter into cardiometabolic disease. So along the way, you have heart disease creating diabetes. You have diabetes creating heart disease. You have insulin resistance and obesity. And what happens? The body reacts with abnormal levels of lipids. And this problem is called dyslipidemia. And then the body reacts with hypertension. So you're getting yourself into this whole mishmash of cardiometabolic phenomenon, which is going to shorten your life and decrease your activity level, because you're going to suddenly find that you become short of breath and tired and unable to perform activities of daily living. And this happened to a member of my family. It was sad to watch them go downhill all of a sudden, but that person wouldn't change their ways at all, despite all of the counseling and everything else that was given to them. So if you take all these symptoms together and all these disease states together, there's a term we've assigned to them. It's called the metabolic syndrome. And what the metabolic syndrome is hypertension, insulin resistance, abnormal glucose levels, type 2 diabetes, dyslipidemia, and the end result is cardiac disease, atherosclerosis, heart attack, stroke, and death. You don't have to be obese to have the metabolic syndrome. You have to have poor lifestyle choices. Remember, there are skinny fat people out there. There are people who are thin as rails, and yet they have ongoing insulin resistance, hypertension, and cardiac disease. And they do constitute people who have metabolic syndrome. And the only way you're going to find out is, if you're not feeling good and you're not feeling optimal, is to please get checked. A blood pressure check costs next to nothing. A blood test costs next to nothing. A visit with your doctor is a copay on your insurance premium. And according to our president, everybody has insurance now, so that shouldn't be a problem, but ha ha ha. So let's delve deeper into it. Obesity and insulin resistance go hand in hand, because when you're obese, the pancreas works harder to release more and more insulin, and more insulin is needed to deal with a given load of glucose, till at some point, cells don't respond anymore, and you become insulin resistant. The fat cells are more than mere fat warehouses. These cells are endocrine organs which secrete a variety of hormones and a variety of cytokines which affect the metabolic machinery of the body by sending signals to the immune system. Fat cells are very active cells. They can be both good and they can be both bad. And it just depends on the type of fat we're talking about. Now, one of the cytokines that fat cells releases is something called TNF-alpha, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and it drives several reactions, creating a clotting environment and increasing your risk of stroke or heart attack. So, obesity is just not a reflection of you eating too much. What happens is these fat cells take on a life of their own. They act like endocrine organs, secreting hormones and these cytokines. And these cytokines can be very, very dangerous, just like TNF-alpha, which is one of those cytokines. And it can cause clotting, stroke, heart attack, and even death. Decreasing obesity and improving insulin resistance have the most significant impact on cardiovascular disease and will have the most significant impact in the next 40 years. So think about it, ladies and gentlemen. The number one killer in the United States is still cardiovascular disease. And if we can somehow improve obesity and improve state of insulin resistance, we'll kick cardiovascular disease right out of the ballpark. There are actually physicians right now who believe this can be done. Really, we have been prisoners of the food industry and the pharmacologic industry much too long. We have to take matters into our own hands. It's like going to the supermarkets. And, you know, I saw something on a Whole Foods bag the other day that said full of healthy food. Well, you know what? Don't delude yourselves. Just because it's Whole Foods doesn't mean it's all healthy. Whole Foods has the same cookies, sugar, and other crap that every other supermarket has, and they place it in such a way to tempt you to buy it, and it's no good for your system. Anything that's advertised on television, any food that's advertised on television is no good for you. Just take it. Anything that has a list of ingredients that you can't pronounce is no good for you, okay? So think about that during this commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk about this. I know this discussion is somewhat philosophical, but it's a needed discussion. Be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Giannotto, and for 25 years, I've been helping men and women like you with hair loss prevention and restoration. You know, a full head of hair makes you look better and feel better, all while improving your self-confidence. And now I'm proud to announce that the Giannotto Clinic is the only clinic in Virginia that offers all three major hair restoration procedures under one roof. We have ARTIS and NeoGraft, the two automated robotic follicular unit extraction procedures, and we have the tried and true follicular unit transplantation strip method. Now you can find a perfect fit with the procedure that works best for you, and in one half day begin your journey to natural, permanent hair. We make all three procedures affordable, and our consultants can match your lifestyle and desired recovery time to a specific procedure. Your results will be precise, permanent, and aesthetic. Call now, 703-556-4247. And when you call, make sure you ask me about SmartGraft, a new procedure involving more precision in less time than any other FUE method. Call me now, 703-556-4247.
For the past 20 years, Dr. Giannotto and the expert staff at the Giannotto Clinic have been Washington's leader in hair loss prevention, restoration, and age management. And now the Giannotto Clinic is proud to introduce genetic testing in its age management program. This proactive program is based on each individual's genetic makeup. As you age, you can look better, feel better, and live longer. Based on scientific knowledge, medicine, nutrition, and a healthy lifestyle, the Giannotto Clinic can combine preventative aging, hair restoration, and facial rejuvenation to help you turn back the clock. So whether it's low libido or you're just not feeling like your old self and want an energy boost in your life, both men and women are encouraged to call the Giannotto Clinic for a free consultation. 703-556-4247. That's 703-556-4247. While you cannot go back and make a new start, you can start today to make a new ending. Call 703-556-4247. That's 703-556-4247.
And we're back. Just to summarize, we were talking about cardiometabolic disease and cardiometabolic risk. and how intimately cardiac disease, cardiovascular disease, atherosclerosis is tied to obesity, insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes. These two forces are intimately connected, and when compounded or going in the same direction, can result in so much risk for your body metabolically that you will die of a heart attack or a stroke. So the other important statement that I made was that decreasing obesity and improving insulin sensitivity may have the most significant impact on cardiovascular disease in the next 40 years. And we didn't get to this part yet. And this can all be done without drugs, without the pharmaceutical industry. It really can. If you study, if you look at the maps of obesity trends in the United States from 1990 to 2008, you'll notice that the rates are climbing. In 2008, greater than 30% of the population was considered obese. Now, this is a lot of stress metabolically on the body, and even more stress on the cost of health care. And as your body mass index, which is a measure of obesity, increases into overweight and obese areas, it's also noted on these maps that cholesterol increases, high blood pressure develops, triglycerides, which are an indirect measure of insulin resistance, increase, glucose or blood sugar increases, and HDL or good cholesterol decreases. Think about that. This has been shown in population maps from 1990 to 2008. Obesity increases, cardiac disease increases, hypertension increases, cholesterol increases. Good cholesterol decreases, insulin resistance and diabetes increase. This is a sad state of affairs, and it all starts with obesity and insulin resistance. The two things that are completely under your control without drugs. I mean it. Okay? Now, childhood obesity is also rising at an alarming rate. The CDC, or Center for Disease Control, predicts that one out of three children born in the year 2000 will be diagnosed with diabetes within their lifetime. One out of three, 33%. And remember what I've always said. Children born in the year 2000 and beyond will most likely have a shorter, they'll be the first generation to have a shorter life expectancy than that of their parents or grandparents. It's sad, and it's all because of lifestyle. Andrew was mentioning a film we were talking before the show called WALL-E. It's an old film. It's an animated film. And one of the things it depicts is that, you know, humanity is all but destroyed and there are robots around, but what people are left are living on boats, and it shows how lazy we've become, and all of these people are depicted as very, very rotund and round because they're on a boat, they don't get exercise, they don't watch what they're eating, and they just lay in their cots all day and get fat. And that is essentially what is happening to the generation since the year 2000 because of cuts in school programs and cuts in nutritional programs. They're not getting the right nutrition. They're not getting the exercise they need. And because of working parents, both mother and father, you know, they're relying on fast food places and processed foods a lot. And this is going to result in obesity and type 2 diabetes. And that's why 33% of them will be afflicted with this problem. So we need to reverse this trend, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. I mean, you may not think it's important now in the grand scheme of things, but for your children's sake, if you look into the future, this is alarming. This is alarming. You're going to, because of possible neglect on your part or because you don't care or you don't think it's important, you're going to leave a generation of kids with a disease that they could have controlled in the beginning. Healthcare costs will skyrocket and debt will just increase. We need to address this obesity epidemic now. We need to diagnose insulin resistance very early and really understand the glycemic impact of foods. We've talked about low glycemic carbs versus high glycemic carbs, and we really need to understand that and put that into action. We can always use diet, exercise, and nutrition to improve insulin sensitivity. You don't need drugs. You don't need drugs at all. And we can improving glycemic control also involves eating breakfast with balanced macronutrients. We can reduce the glycemic impact of foods with fiber and plant nutrients. If you want to go into detail on this, go to the Giannotto Clinic YouTube channel. I had several weeks ago, I just finished a series of 12 or 14 videos on micro and macronutrients and how to balance your metabolism with them. And we're taking a break right now, but we're going to do another season on the YouTube channel in the coming weeks and continue the trend on nutrition. But they're very informative videos, and they're no longer than 3 to 4 minutes apiece, so you can absorb all of the information. And they're given in the form of a PowerPoint presentation, but just for your information. Remember, we can use insulin-sensitizing nutraceuticals such as alpha-lipoic acid or chromium or even cinnamon to decrease insulin resistance. Did you know three common things? Broccoli, chickpeas, and lentils have the power to lower your insulin levels and reduce insulin resistance. Very, very important. Eat a lot of broccoli, eat a lot of chickpeas, eat a lot of lentils. They really, really help, and they really help stave off conditions leading to type 2 diabetes. The other thing we really need to do is increase physical activity, because if we don't increase physical activity, exercise is really essential in reducing insulin resistance, and it really needs to be a daily part of all of our lives. Any activity, it really does. Think about it. We sit in our office all day long. We come home, we sit for our meals, and then we sit on the couch and we watch Netflix or whatever the show happens to be that you're watching that night. And physical activity has all but gone out of our lives. I go to the gym almost every day, and I see the same people exercising over and over and over. And there's a subset of them that have never changed their body while they're exercising. And that's because even though they're exercising, they're not watching their nutrition. They all go hand in hand, ladies and gentlemen. You can't have one without the other. You want true health, you need to decrease your stress levels, you need to watch what you eat, and you need to exercise. Then you will have true health, true metabolic health. It's very, very important. So, what do we talk about next? Let's talk about why insulin is so important, how insulin works. There's a simple explanation. Insulin is secreted from an organ in our abdomen called the pancreas, and it's secreted in response to glucose molecules or sugar molecules in a meal. All right. Most carbohydrates are composed of sugars, and when you ingest them, the sugars are broken down into glucose molecules, and this causes the pancreas. They send a signal to the pancreas, and it causes the pancreas to release insulin. All right. Why? The insulin molecule actually unlocks or translocates a protein receptor on the cell membrane to allow glucose to enter the cell. The reason glucose has to enter the cell is because then glucose is metabolized in the cell and used for energy. Once insulin levels fall, the door to the cell is once again locked and no glucose enters the cell. So, if you have excess glucose in your bloodstream, what happens? It's sent to the liver to be processed. Think about the liver as a parking lot for excess traffic, okay? You've eaten a meal. Insulin is secreted. The glucose that results from the breakdown of carbohydrates enters into the cells. When the cells can't take any more, insulin decreases. Excess glucose is then sent to a parking lot far off. When that parking lot, the liver, is full, here's where the trouble begins, all right? Glucose is then transformed into triglycerides, or fat globules, okay, and contributes to fat. So I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again. You don't get fat by eating fat. You get fat by eating carbs. And this small fact has been known forever and ever and ever and was completely ignored from the mid-60s until the mid-90s when low-fat diets became the rage and the obesity rates in the United States skyrocketed. Think about it. It was carbs the whole time. Now, next time we'll talk about why you shouldn't discard carbs altogether. Carbs aren't really bad. You need carbs for energy. But until then, eat responsibly. Like I always say, stay safe, stay warm this weekend. It's going to get pretty cold tomorrow and Monday. And we'll see you next week, and we'll continue this discussion of cardiometabolic risk and insulin resistance. Thank you. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Wellness DC with Dr. Richard Giannotto of the Giannotto Clinic in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Thank you, and have a pleasant weekend.
On any given day, more than 1,000 women receive a breast cancer screening made possible by a Susan G. Komen Community Grant. Well, that's something to celebrate. Since 1990, breast cancer mortality rates have dropped by 34%. Well, that's also something to celebrate. On Saturday, May 9th, Mother's Day weekend, let's celebrate. Join the Komen DC Race for the Cure on the National Mall and bring the whole family. With a kids run and activities for all, this annual 5K walk run is fun for everyone. Komen has invested over $35 million in the National Capital Region, and with your help, they can continue to fund life-saving breast cancer screenings, treatment, and support services for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. So grab your mom, dad, aunt, uncle, sister, brother, children, and friends. Because it's time to celebrate. For more information and to register, visit KomenDCRaceForTheCure.org. That's KomenDCRaceForTheCure.org.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTLPFMHD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community. Plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons, Monday through Friday. DoD Wednesday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, learn how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 9, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help breathe life into federal IT policy. And at 11,
Join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO to hear from you.